Heard you say one day, I like those Gideons. They practice what I preach. Our motto, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now our wives serve as the members of the auxiliary, the wives of the Gideons. And they have as their motto, the auxiliary on their knees to keep the Gideons on their feet. You like that? I do. Well, in Japan, they try to translate that in their language, and it came out something like this, men. If women get off man back, man able to stand up. Our mission is to win others for Christ. And this is the only reason for our existence today. Dr. Criswell of Dallas, Texas, has said of the Gideons, the Gideons is the only missionary association that I know of whose primary purpose is to serve others. That's quite a compliment. Our method for winning others to Christ is through personal soul winning on a one-to-one basis. And then this may surprise you, with a help or an aid to that ministry, we place God's holy, perfect word, the perfect missionary. We place them in traffic lanes of national life, in the hotels, motels, doctor's offices, dentist's offices, the modes of transportation, schools, colleges, hospitals, prisons, induction centers, and so forth. In 129 countries, in 53 languages, at the rate of 1 million every 17 days. And since 1908, we've had the privilege of placing over 284 million copies around the world. And our message is the good news. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. I mean, we solicit the prayers of God's people. You see, prayer moves the hand that moves the world, the mightiest weapon known to man. We encourage Christian business and professional men to join our association. For truly the harvest is plenteous, but the workers are few. And then we request that God's people give to our ministry. And listen to this, with the promise that 100% of every dollar received goes towards the purchase and distribution of God's holy word. As businessmen, as professional men, we pay our own expenses so that every penny we receive from God's people goes towards the purchase and distribution of God's holy word. This year, our worldwide scripture fund goal is $27 million. And our worldwide scripture placement goal this year is 23 million copies of scripture to be placed around the world. And then we ask God's people to support our Memorial Bible program and by placing Bibles in memory of loved ones, you use this particular card here. And by the way, these cards are downstairs in your rack, and I appreciate seeing them there. Then you can place Bibles in honor of friends of loved ones on special occasions, weddings, anniversaries, birthdays, graduations, and so forth. And one Bible in this lifetime has a longevity, a potential witness to over 3,300 souls. Our morale, our strength, our confidence is that we have God's promise that his word shall not return unto him void. Now, in the remaining time, I'd like to give you some marvelous testimonies as to the power of God's holy word. I was in hunger, and he gave me meat. For 9 years, Matt served as a counter spy to the FBI. Seemingly a communist agent, he channeled back to our government vital statistics and information regarding the communist regime. For those 9 years, he lived in a hotel room in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, because during those 9 years, he lost the respect of his boys. His mother and dad died believing him to be a communist defector. His wife had divorced him because of his activity. But he said, in those 9 years, I literally feasted on the meat of the word. And although I was not of your persuasion, I found that it wasn't church membership. I found it wasn't church attendance. I found that it wasn't works. I found that it wasn't communion, confession. I found that I had to confess my sins, yes, and receive Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And one day in that hotel room in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Matt got down on his knees and received Christ Jesus as his personal Savior. I wasn't hungry, and he gave me meat. I was thirsty, and he gave me to drink. Julius was a Jewish boy. He went into the induction center one morning, and a Gideon was there every morning. And they gave to him a copy of God's Holy Word. He said, I'm Jewish, I can't use that. They said, oh, we have the Psalms and the Proverbs in back. Take it and read those. He didn't intend to read them. But one day, Julius was very, very sick in the hospital. Had nothing to do. He picked that little book. And out of curiosity, he started to read the Psalms and the Proverbs. And then he went over into the New Testament. And he said, it was just like that. He snapped his fingers. God opened my blind eyes, and I received Christ, saw Christ Jesus as my Messiah. And where before I didn't want people to know of my heritage, that I was a Jew, now I'm proud of my heritage. I accepted Jesus Christ as my own and personal Savior. Today, Julius, that Jewish boy, is serving full time among his own people, the Jews. He was thirsty. He did not know what he was thirsting for. But he drank deeply of the living water. And now Julius, the Jewish boy, will not have to thirst again. I was a stranger, and he took me in. He held a blitz over New York City. And the Gideons went into a number of the colleges, and I think it was over 250,000 to 300,000 college New Testaments that they placed during that blitz. On the first day, on the first campus, a woman received one of those college testaments. She took it home, and she started to read it. That morning, she made a promise that she was going to shoot her husband as he came by that home on the way home from work that night. He was living with another woman down the street. But she read God's Holy Word, and she received Christ Jesus as her personal Savior. She had four boys, and they came from home from school, and she read to them. And they accepted Christ Jesus as their personal Savior. And she got all excited, and she wanted to share this good news. But she had never been into a church before. She didn't know any Christian pastors. She didn't have any Christian friends. Who could she share this good news with? And she said, wait a minute, the telephone. The telephone operator. The telephone operator. And she dialed the operator, and she told the operator what happened to her life and what happened to the lives of her four children. And the operator said, oh, I know who the Gideons are. Let me put you in touch with the local camp. And it was a brand new Gideon who picked up that phone and heard this woman's testimony. And believe me, he walked in cloud nine. I was a stranger, and he took me in. I was sick, and he visited me. An elderly man was placed in the Weber Hospital in one of the cities of there in Maine. Instead of the Maine, you say, Lou, you have an accent. I know where you come from Maine. I don't have an accent, just translate with an accent, all right? He was put there to spend the last few days, weeks, hours of his life, and one night his daughter came in, the nurse met her at the door and said, your dad's in a coma. And she said, you can imagine how I felt that night as I went to that room. I didn't know what to do. For the first time I saw a copy of God's Word on top of the dresser top, and I thought, well, maybe I can find some comfort in God's Holy Word. She said, I went and I picked up that New Testament, and as I started across the room, a voice said to me, what do you have there? And she said, a miracle happened, because my dad came out of the coma. And I said, turn, and I said, I have a copy of God's Holy Word. He said, would you read me something? And she said, I was in a dilemma, because I'd never had a copy of God's Word in my hand before. I'd never stepped inside the church door before. What could I read? At this time in my father's life, it would help us. But she said, when I sat down in that chair, it was the Holy Spirit that opened that word that morning, because I read these words. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I return again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And she said, my father said, oh, I see. And a smile came across my dad's face, and my dad went off into eternity. She said, I want to thank you men for putting that copy of God's Holy Word there in the hospital, the Weber Hospital, in Biddeford, Maine. I was in prison, and he came unto me. Malan Falcon was a self-confessed child of Satan. He joined a gang. At the age of 16, he became the leader of that gang. They started by taking off the hubcaps and the covers off an automobile. Then they graduated and went to start stealing from the glove compartment. Then they graduated from that and started to steal the engines from the cars. Then they graduated from that and started to steal the car itself. Malan was a professional boxer, and his wife said, Malan, get out of that. Otherwise, you're going to get into trouble. And so he quit. One day, the sheriff's car pulled up in Malan's yard and arrested him. He was putting stolen car parts on his own automobile. They challenged him with 45 counts of armed robbery, and they convicted him on 4, and they put him in prison. The very first day, he got in a fight, and they said, boy, this guy's a toughie. We were to put him in maximum security. So they put him in maximum security. And the very first day in maximum security, one of the prisoners stepped in front of him in the cow line, and they had some words. A challenge was thrown down, and that night they had a fight in the shower. Now, the other fellow, a great big fellow, he thought he was going to take and wipe up the floor with Malan, not knowing that Malan had been a professional boxer, and Malan knocked him out. He said, I didn't stop there. He said, I kicked him with my bare feet when my bare feet hurt. And then I didn't stop there. I picked up his head and I smashed his head in the cement. So the cement was covered with blood. Then I ran down the car to get back to my cell before they could find out who had committed this. And there was 6 months in the hospital. As he ran down the car, he passed another prisoner. His name was Big Red. Big Red was a two-time loser. And Red was reading a Bible. And Malan hated that Bible. And he stopped and said, what are you reading that Bible for? And Red said, because I know Jesus Christ is first and Savior, and I love his word. And Malan went down to his cell. And pretty soon Red showed up and said, Malan, have you ever read a copy of God's word? Have you ever read the Bible? And said, no. Let me give you one. You ought to read it. And he gave Malan a copy of God's holy word. And Malan said, I stood there and I pranced around. I walked around that cell and I said, I ought to read it. I should read it. Can't do any harm. And I sat down and I started to read. And I couldn't understand one thing that I read. And in a desperation, I said, God, if there's a God, open these blind eyes that I can see you. And God opened Malan's blind eyes, and Malan received Christ Jesus as his personal Savior. He said, then I started to pray, God, get me out of here. He said, I realized that was a selfish prayer. But I kept praying, Lord, get me out in your good time. And he said, I knew when I was going to be released. I was released. I joined a small church, and I set up in the very back pew. I didn't want to get involved. I just wanted to share in the fellowship and the message of God. The pastor came to me one day and said, Malan, you ought to preach. He said, Pastor, I can't preach. Malan, with what you have for testimony, you ought to preach. You ought to go back to school, though. He said, Pastor, I couldn't go back to school. You see, I never went through grade school. I get mad with one of my buddies, and I threw him out of the second-story window, and they threw me out of school. He said, I didn't mean grade school, high school, or anything. I'm in college, Malan. He says, I don't think so, Pastor. He says, well, I have a friend, and he has charge of the entrance examination for a certain college. Let's go and talk to him. And so he took the examination, and the fellow came up. He said, is this your name? He said, yes, sir. You can't even write. He turned to Pastor and said, what do you want this man to go to Bible school for? He said, because he has a testimony, he ought to preach. Give the man a chance. And I saw Malan stand up in Canada. He's been preaching for 22 years. He got his master's degree. He's working on his doctor's degree. And the night before, he had given an invitation at an evangelistic meeting, and 200 young people came down and received Christ Jesus as personal Savior. You see, I was in prison, and ye came unto me. And I was naked, and ye clothed me. I believe we as Christians agree those outside of Christ are naked. And only when they're clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ do they really have that peace, that hope, they have righteousness. And through our extension program, we have the privilege of clothing them in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Mexico, the young fellow came up to the Gideons one day, he says, I want another one of those New Testaments. And they said, what do you mean, another one? What'd you do with the last one? He said, I tore it up. You tore it up? What do you mean you tore it up? Oh, he said, I don't mean I tore it up to destroy it. He says, I tore it up by books, the 27 books of the New Testament, and then you have Psalms and Proverbs. I tore those two books up, and then you have a section there of health. I tore that up. And I passed those 30 sections around to 30 of my friends, and every one received Christ Jesus as their personal Savior. I want another book to tear up so 30 more people can be saved. This past November, I had the privilege of leading 25 men from 6 countries to Ghana, West Africa. Businessmen, Gideon, paid their own expenses. We're doing this in a number of countries. We've been to Argentina, different teams, Argentina, Philippines, Brazil. There's a team right now in Singapore and Hong Kong. Our mission there was to place as many scriptures as we could in an 8-day working period, as well as to do personal soul winning. And I want to report to you that in those 8 working days in Ghana, West Africa, those 25 men gave a dignitary Bible to the president of Ghana, the vice president of Ghana, the minister of health, the king of gold, and that's the story I could talk to about an hour that visited to his palace, the chief justice, the mayor Takara of Kumasi, our own USA ambassador, and I was in his office talking to him. He says, well, Mr. Lampson, where do you come from? I said, I come from Maine. He said, I thought so. From your accent, he said, I come from Reedfield, Maine. So we have something to talk about. We also gave testaments to the head of the army, the navy, the police, the prisons. In Accra, in 5 days, he passed out on a one-to-one basis 85,000 copies of God's Holy Word. In Tumasi, in 2 days, 35,000 copies of God's Holy Word. And in Takoradi, in 1 day, plus 2 hours the next day before he left to go back home, 25,000 copies. 145,000 copies of scriptures on a one-to-one basis. We visited 499 institutions, hotels, motels, jails, and boy, those jails are nothing like you have here. And we had an estimation of over 15,000 decisions, personal decisions, for Christ. We went to one school, and the teacher said, I was told this week that I was to teach the scriptures in my school, a Catholic school. I went to the storage room to find out what I had for books to use. And she showed us 2 or 3 Bibles, and the termites had got into them, and they were just all in pieces. You couldn't possibly even read them. And then she said, I got down on my knees, and I said, God, if I'm to teach my students, then you've got to provide the scriptures. And she said, and 2.5 hours later, after I prayed that prayer, there was a knock on my door, and Christian businessmen came and said, we're from USA and around the world. We have copies of God's Word for every one of your for your students, and we have copies of God's Word, the Bible, for every one of your teachers. And that Catholic teacher got down and cried, praising God for the answer to prayer in 2.5 hours. We went to another Catholic school, and I was just through making that presentation. The Catholic teacher came to me and she said, sir, today's Wednesday. And I said, what about Wednesday? Well, she said, sir, I teach the Bible on Wednesday. I have the only Bible in the school. And the day you gave my students, every one of them, a copy of God's Holy Word, now they have their own textbooks. We went into some schoolroom that did not even have a textbook. But when they left, we had the most perfect textbooks that they get a good study from. God's holy and inspired Word. I want to close very quickly now, but I want to just tell you, after Ghana, what? We had a convention in St. Louis. We had some Ghanaians there at that convention. They said, Lou, we want to tell you there was a coup in January of this year. And if you men had not come in front of that country with God's holy word, there'd been a lot more murders and rapes and stealings than there were. They said, Lou, we're receiving 60 letters a week from the students thanking us for their testimony. We've had 7 prisoners come to us and tell us that because of those words of God's place in the prison, they've been saved and they're going back to their village and preach God's holy word, the good news. And then he said, Lou, they executed some high military men in Takoradi. They were going to do it in Tumasi. And when the chaplain in Tumasi found out where they were going to make that execution, he got a copy of God's Holy Word, and he ran down, he had it opened up, and he was saying, men, every one of you received a copy of the God's Holy Word from the Gideons when they are here. You promised that you would live, read it. You promised you would live by it. If you're true to your promise, you can't execute these men. They left them go. They left them go. No sooner the word than action. Because his word is said, my word shall not return unto thee me void. I may plant, Apollos may water, but it's God that giveth the increase. Now we're going to sing an invitation hymn, 188. If there is one individual here today who does not know Christ as the personal Savior, I want to invite you to come and take your stand on the front pew and give God your heart and tell him what you'd like to say to him. Or if there's some other decision you'd like to make and make this your church home by letter or by statement, we invite you to come. And as we sing, this will be your opportunity to respond. May God bless you. As we turn now in our hymnals, 188, Jesus is tenderly calling. He's calling today. Stanza. I wonder if there is someone here today who you know God and you've read the Bible and you've heard about this truth, but you've just never taken the time and the opportunity to say yes to him. You've never opened your heart truly and said, I'm going to give God my life and let him have his way in my heart. I've never really repented of my sins. I've never confessed them. And I've never really followed his will. Today, while his Spirit speaks and we sing this last stanza, I wonder if there is someone who would like to do that and give God your whole life and unite your life with his church to serve him and to work for him while we sing. Would you do it?
you, Brother Lou, for the message, and I'm certain that we'll take this home and it will strengthen us, each of us. A wonderful testimony about the Bible. Now, as we go from the service today, we will have ushers with offering plates, and you may make a contribution to this work, and this offering goes 100% to the purchase of Bibles. And so I hope that you will be liberal, you will be generous, you'll make a check or give whatever you have in hand. Either whether it's small or whether it's great, it'll be very, very helpful and beneficial in getting the word out. It's really a joy today to have had visitors with us, each of you who are visiting in our service. It's always a pleasure, and we're happy that you decided to come and be with us, and I hope that you'll come back again, come back next Sunday. Tonight, we have a special service here at 7:30, and we are preaching on the book of Daniel. And bring your Bible, and God will bless, I'm sure. So we pray. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee today for Thy presence with us. We have felt the warmth of Thy Spirit. And Lord, the glorious, wonderful results of the Word of God, we just marvel. How does this happen, we say. We know it's the power of God. And so we are so grateful that this one has shared with us some of the results around this world. And we pray, Father, now that you would bless us in our gifts, that we might have a worthy part in carrying out and printing the word and distributing it through this great ministry. May this day be a holy day with each of us, because it's God's day. In Jesus' name. Amen.